Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the quarterly All-In Payment Call. My name is Ben Lidecker, the Ticket Operations Manager, and I will be your moderator for today's call. Go ahead and go to the next slide, please. Before we go over the agenda and announce the presenters for this call, I will go over a few logistics and housekeeping items. Today's call is scheduled for 60 minutes and is being recorded and transcribed. As a reminder, per the ticket program agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection 1-1, Ian staff are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript. We will be posting call items, including the transcript, audio, PowerPoint presentation, and a recap in a few weeks. The material will be posted to the Your Ticket to Work website under Training and Events, under Archives, under National Calls, and under the Ian Payments call. Look for the May 5th, 2026 quarterly All-In Payment call, and a Gov delivery message will be sent out after all items are posted to the website. During the Q&A session, Microsoft Teams chat has been disabled, and all questions must be asked aloud. If you have joined by phone and you wish to ask a question, raise your hand by pressing star 5, and your line will be unmuted by the facilitator. Then press star 6 to unmute yourself. If you've joined by Microsoft Teams app, please click the raise hand icon and the facilitator will provide audio, access to audio to allow you to unmute your microphone. Next slide, please. During the Q&A, please ask one question at a time as you are called on by the facilitator, and please only ask questions related to the topics discussed during this call. Additional questions or comments can be sent to Ian Payments Helpdesk at ssa.gov. In addition, closed captioning is available for participants who join using the Microsoft Teams application or by utilizing the separate closed caption link provided. To turn on closed caption in Teams, go to the More menu at the top of the Microsoft Teams window and click Language and Speech, and then select Turn on Live Captions. When using the link provided, paste the link into your browser and it will open a separate window to view closed captions. Thank you in advance for your participation. Next slide, please. Going over today's agenda, we will start with a ticket evaluation reminder, as well as our first Q&A. We will then move through the January ePay file statistics, the ePay reminders, payment help desk reminders, EN overpayments, phase one milestone one payment evaluation, and the phase one milestones one through three earnings requirements, as well as name verification. At that point, we will also have a second Q&A session before having our closing remarks. Next slide, please. I will now be handing it over to Seth Hartig from SSA, who will be working through some of the ticket evaluation reminder materials.
Thanks. Hi, everyone. As SSA has already indicated on previous calls that I believe many of you have attended, next slide, please. Thanks.
We are currently evaluating the Tickets Work program to help us better understand best practices and identify potential improvements. In the coming weeks, SSA will be sending out a survey to each EN as part of this evaluation. The survey will be a chance for SSA to learn from your experience and expertise about what is working well within the Tickets Work program and where improvements can be made. The program contacted each EN will receive an invitation to the survey by mail and by email. The email will come from our contractor, Mathematica, from the email address listed on the slide, ttwevaluation, that's one word, at mathematica-npr.com. If your email system has a safe sender list, please add this email to that list. If not, please check your spam folders over the next few weeks to make sure you see the survey invitation. We're offering a $40 gift card to each provider that completes the survey. You'll be asked near the end of the survey for a mailing address where we can send that card. You can also decline the offer to receive the gift card if your organization rules prohibit it. In addition to the survey, we'll also be conducting interviews with beneficiaries to ask them about their experiences. If one of your clients reports that they have been invited to an interview, please encourage them to participate. We're also offering $40 gift cards for the participating in these interviews. That's $40 gift cards. If you have any questions about these activities, I think we have some time after the slide for Q&A. You're also welcome to email me or my colleague, Ellie Sinnott, using the email addresses listed here on the slide. Thanks so much, Vivo, and also the next slide. Thanks.
Thank you, Seth. We will now be having the first Q&A session. As a reminder, if you're using Microsoft Teams, raise your hand and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. And then you will need to click the microphone to unmute yourself at your computer as well. If you are called in by phone, please raise your hand by pressing *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then press *6 to unmute yourself. We'll pause a moment to see if we have any questions at this point. Jalen, are you seeing any questions on the phone yet?
Hi, Ben. I'm not seeing any raised hands.
Okay, thank you.
If there's no questions, then we can go on. So we can, but happy to answer questions from you all afterwards.
Thank you, Seth. So let's go ahead and go to the next slide. I'll be handing it off to Nicole Black, who will be handling the next updates for the next several parts of our agenda. Nicole?
Thank you, Ben. Good afternoon, everyone. We will start off with the January ePay file statistics. The January ePay file was completed in March of 2026. There were 14,000 total claims paid. There were 4,555 SSNs paid, for a total amount of $7,191,424. And SSA has started processing the April 2026 ePay file. Next slide, please. ePay reminders. Phase 1 Milestone 4 is paid via ePay, but ENs must still submit payment requests for Phase 1 Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay. ENs must have passed their annual services and supports review, and the ePay file is processed in SSN order, not provider ID or PID order. Phase 1 Milestone 4, Phase 2 Milestones, and Outcomes are all paid via ePay. ENs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal without evidence of earnings when the EN portion of the ePay file is being processed. Submitting for such payments does slow down processing and causes duplicate claim months. Next slide. Please allow TPM to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting payment via the ticket portal. An initial PII violation will remove the EN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file. During this time, the EN must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. For example, if an EN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, for example, February, they will be removed from the next ePay file. Next slide, please. Payment help desk reminders. For your payment inquiries, all communication regarding ticket holders and ENs must be with suitable EN staff. That means your approved portal users, your program contacts, or your signatory authority, or your payments contact, and personally identifiable information, or PII. If an EN needs to submit PII, the submission must be done via fax or mail, and ENs must not submit PII via email. And the reason for that is it's just a direct violation of our PII rules. And so we are unable to communicate with the ENs via email with any type of PII, either in the subject line or the body. So it is important, if you have that information that you need to share, and it does contain PII, that it must be done via fax or mail. And in order for us to be able to know which case in particular that you are referencing, the EN should use the SSA reference number when emailing payment inquiries to the payment help desk. Next slide, please. EN overpayments. Next slide. What causes an overpayment? So overpayments can result from a variety of causes, including adjudicative errors and systems problems and or limitations. So a question that has come up often is, how can an EN repay an overpayment? Please note, per the TPA, Section 5S, when SSA becomes aware of an EN overpayment, SSA will send the EN a notice via email to the payment's contact explaining the circumstances and the amount of the overpayment. The notice when received will state, effective November 1st, 2018, the Social Security Administration will no longer accept checks as repayment for Employment Network overpayments. ENs will have 10 days to dispute any overpayments. After that time, SSA will initiate payment recovery using, first, any pending evidentiary payments for the named ticket holder or ticket holders, and second, from any other ticket holder or ticket holders assigned to the EN where payments may be due until SSA recoups all overpaid funds. Next slide. How does an EN dispute an overpayment? The best way to submit a dispute for an overpayment is to submit a response to the overpayment notice or the email which was received within 10 business days from the date on the notice to dispute the determination and to provide any additional evidence for that submission or that dispute. How does SSA recoup an overpayment? Per the TPA, Section 5F, if the EN does not respond to an EN overpayment notice in a timely fashion or 10 business days, and the EN currently is receiving payments, SSA will initiate recovery of the EN overpayment amount from future payments on any ticket assigned to the EN. Failure to resolve overpayments or repeated payment suspensions may result in further recovery action and or termination of the EN's TPA. So SSA will initiate payment recovery using pending evidentiary payments, and this includes EPAY cases of the named ticket holder or ticket holders. And if there are no pending payments for the named ticket holder or ticket holders, or the pending payments do not cover the entire overpaid amount, money is withheld from other ticket holders assigned to the EN where payments may be due until SSA recoups all overpaid funds. SSA will seek recovery of any outstanding overpayments following a termination of a TPA. And finally, an EN shall be responsible for the repayment of any outstanding overpayments following termination of their TPA. Next slide. How does an EN prevent an overpayment? So every overpayment case is different, and ENs can take steps to reduce the risk. So when working with your ticket holders, some of the things that you can do is ask about the source of look-back earnings, such as short-term or long-term disability payments, or if there's any previously unreported work activity. Those two things are very helpful when we have that information in advance as the EN, so you would know that the information is there. So it would help us when we are reviewing our phase one milestone cases, if you have this supporting documentation. And something else for you all to keep in mind is that we review every SSN from top to bottom every time a payment request is submitted. So there are times that there are earnings that are updated a year or two later, and that is something that is reviewed every payment request that is submitted so that we are able to determine if a mistake was possibly made. Please note again, per the TPA Section 5F, in addition, EN should be aware of the following regarding ticket holder benefit status. So if there's an issue and there's an appeal by a ticket holder regarding their entitlement or eligibility for disability benefits, and this results in a revised determination, that revised determination could affect an EN's entitlement to payment for the periods covered by that determination. So if such a determination results in an improper payment to the EN, SSA will not seek to recover the amount of the overpayment in those circumstances. Next slide, please. Transitioning to phase one, milestone one, payment evaluation. Next slide. Please note that for this section, all of the information presented is specifically related to your phase one, milestone one payment request. However, some of this information does also encompass additional payment requests. The purpose of this section is specifically for your phase one, milestone one payment request. So the policy for your phase one milestones is that all payments must be made in order. So this policy is important because it requires ENs to submit a phase one, milestone one request at the first payment on a ticket to start receiving payments. So SSA evaluates the phase one, milestone one payment request for a prior VR cost reimbursement payment, a successful VR case closure in the 18 months prior to the first ticket assignment, earnings of trial work level or greater in the month prior to the first ticket assignment, and they're also looking for acceptable proof of relationship. Next slide. P1M1 must be addressed as paid or denied with an exclusion for an EN to be eligible to receive the next payment. If an EN requests phase one milestone one and it is denied with a reason that is not one of the exclusions below, the EN will need to resubmit phase one milestone one. ENs cannot skip to the phase one milestone two until that phase one milestone one is addressed as either paid or denied with an exclusion. The three exclusions are code 7, the denial reason is payment made under VR for same period, or code 8 with the denial reason due to VR services, phase one milestones can't be paid, or code 12 with the denial reason not eligible for payment due to look back earnings. On the next three slides, we will take a deeper dive into those three denial reasons. Next slide, please. Denial code 7, payment made under VR for same period. This exclusion applies to cases where a state VR agency received a cost reimbursement payment for the same ticket holder prior to the EN's request for phase one milestone one. ENs are not due any phase one milestones. Phase one milestones 1 through 4 will automatically be denied by SSA at the time of the phase one milestone one request. If the EN is eligible for additional payments, SSA will make those payments at the time of the phase one milestone one request. And this SSN is now eligible for ePay because all of the phase one milestones 1 through 4 have been addressed. So for example, if you submit a payment and it is denied for code 7 and you just submit the payment request for phase one milestone one, and this is the denial reason that is used, SSA is going to proactively create your phase one milestone two, your milestone three, and your milestone four to deny those for you so that your next available payment would be your phase two milestone one. You can submit for that manually through the portal, or that phase two milestone one may be eligible on the next ePay file. Next slide, please. Denial code 8, due to VR services, phase one milestones cannot be paid. This exclusion applies to cases where a state VR agency had a successful case closure in the 18 months prior to the first ticket assignment. ENs are not due any phase one milestones. That's phase one milestones 1 through 4 will be automatically denied by SSA at the time of the phase one milestone one request. If the EN is eligible for additional payments, SSA will make those payments at the time of the phase one milestone one request. And this SSN is now eligible for ePay because all phase one milestones 1 through 4 have been addressed. They've been either paid or denied due to the exclusion. Next slide, please. Code 12, not eligible for payment due to lookback earnings. This exclusion, as it relates to P1M1 or phase one milestone one, applies to cases where there are earnings at trial work level or greater the month prior to the first ticket assignment. SSA performs an evaluation of all the earnings on SSA's records in the 18 months prior to the first ticket assignment, referred to as the 18-month lookback. The EN may be found ineligible for any or all Phase 1 milestones 1 through 4, and SSA will automatically process the denials. If Phase 1 milestones 1 through 4 are denied with this exclusion, SSA will check for any additional payments the EN may be due. If not, the EN must request any remaining Phase 1 milestones prior to requesting Phase 2 milestones. Next slide, please. One of the key factors with your Phase 1 Milestone 1 is to make sure that it is requested with proof of relationship. EANs must submit a proof of relationship with the Phase 1 Milestone 1 payment request in addition to meeting all other payment requirements. Showing proof of relationship with your ticket holder can be accomplished through submitting pay stubs or a completed proof of relationship form that documents a list of intensive employment support services and monthly contact with the ticket holder during the Phase 1 milestone period. The POR form must list services and dates of services provided to the ticket holders during the milestone period. Next slide. EANs will have three opportunities to provide the required proof of relationship for Phase 1 Milestone 1 before the ticket is unassigned. If an EAN did not include documentation with the payment request, SSA will issue a denial number 44 for proof of relationship not received. The EAN will need to submit Phase 1 Milestone 1 again and include an acceptable proof of relationship. The EAN cannot skip to Phase 1 Milestone 2. Best practice is to always submit your proof of relationship at the time of the payment request to ensure that your proof of relationship is received prior to the payment being processed by the payment technicians or SSA. If an EAN submits documentation, but the documentation did not demonstrate proof of relationship, SSA will issue a denial number 45, proof of relationship failed review. The EAN will need to submit Phase 1 Milestone 1 again and include an acceptable proof of relationship. The EAN cannot skip to Phase 1 Milestone 2. Next slide. Code 43, incorrect Phase 1 claim month requested by the EAN. This denial, as it relates to Phase 1 Milestone 1, applies to cases where the EAN submits a payment request but earnings on SSA's record show Phase 1 Milestone 1 is due at an earlier claim month. SSA will deny the case and include the correct claim month in the denial comments. The EANs should review the denial comment in the ticket portal. For example, earlier attainment month payable at January 2025 per earnings on SSA record or information provided by the EAN. The EAN must resubmit the Phase 1 Milestone 1 using the claim month provided by SSA and must include proof of relationship for the correct claim month. Next slide, please. In summary, EANs should use the ticket portal to check the payment history for each ticket holder after requesting Phase 1 Milestone 1. The reason being is, like we said in the earlier slides, that if we see that there's an exclusion and we are able to proactively create and deny any remaining Phase 1 milestones, we can do that on your behalf so that you know exactly what the next payment is that you should request. EANs will be able to see any and all denials automatically processed by SSA, and EANs should review all denial comments to determine what the next steps are. Next slide, please. Phase 1 milestone earnings requirements. Next slide. So this next set of slides will encompass all of our Phase 1 milestones and the required earnings that are necessary in order for us to review the payment request. So for a Phase 1 Milestone 1, the current pay status needs to be applicable to the ticket holder without entering the outcome period. The earnings must be at or above trial work level. The first month after the ticket assignment month or any month thereafter. If the month prior to the initial ticket assignment month has earnings at or above trial work level, Phase 1 Milestone 1 cannot be paid because of look-back earnings. Proof of relationship is required. Your proof of relationship can be pay stubs or a proof of relationship form. Next slide. Phase 1 Milestone 2. Again, must be in current pay status without entering the outcome period. Earnings must have 3 months of gross earnings at or above trial work level. Trial work level earnings must be 3 months within a 6-month period. If there are 3 months with earnings at or above trial work level within 6 months prior to the initial ticket assignment, Phase 1 Milestone 2 cannot be paid because of look-back earnings. Proof of relationship is required for your Phase 1 Milestone 2s, and that again includes pay stubs or proof of relationship form. Next slide. Phase 1 Milestone 3, again, needs to be in current pay status without entering the outcome period. Earnings must have 6 months of gross earnings at or above trial work level. Trial work level earnings must be 6 months within a 12-month period. If there are 6 months with earnings at or above trial work level within 12 months prior to the initial ticket assignment month, Phase 1 Milestone 3 cannot be paid because of look-back earnings. Proof of relationship is required for your Phase 1 Milestone 3s, and that again entails your pay stubs or the proof of relationship form. Next slide. And for your Phase 1 Milestone 4s, again, your ticket holder needs to be in current pay status without entering the outcome period. Earnings must have 9 months of gross earnings at or above trial work level. Trial work level earnings must be 9 months within an 18-month period. If there are 9 months with earnings at or above trial work level within 12 months prior to the initial ticket assignment month, Phase 1 Milestone 4 cannot be paid because of look-back earnings. Your Phase 1 Milestone 4 does not require proof of relationship. Next slide, please. Name verifications. Next slide. It is a best practice for the earnings documentation submitted, and that's your pay stubs, work number report, employer-prepared earnings statements, to reflect the name currently on record with Social Security. The EN is not expected to analyze the earnings documentation in detail. Please submit the earnings documentation with the name as is. Staff will complete the initial review. If the name differs, staff will attempt to verify it with all approved resources. The EN will be notified if the name cannot be verified on SSA's record at the time of processing. A tip for you is the ticket holder's name on record is listed in the portal. The ticket holder's name on all documentation submitted for payment requests should match the full name on SSA's record. Again, that can be found in the ticket portal. That includes their pay stubs, the work number report, the proof of relationship form, the supplemental earnings statement, and the employer-prepared earnings statement. Next slide. Resources. Next slide. You can reach us by phone Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, toll-free at 866-949-3687 or TTY at 866-833-2967. Select option 1 for the beneficiary helpline, option 2 for the EN payments help desk, and option 3 for the systems help desk. We send glove deliveries to you all. Please save the email address listed below to your safe senders list so that the messages do not go into your spam or junk email boxes. That email address is tickettowork@subscriptions.ssa.gov, or you can email us. For payment issues, the email address is enpaymentshelpdesk@ssa.gov. For questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website and the ticket portal, the email address is ensystemshelp@ssa.gov. Next slide. If you have any topics, we invite you to share your topics that you'd be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payments. Please send your topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelpdesk@ssa.gov. It'd be good if you ask them to send it to my attention, Nicole Black, so that I can get your topics and we can include those in our quarterly calls. Next slide, please. Handing it over to Ben.
Thank you, Nicole. We will now be starting the second round of question and answer. If you're using Microsoft Teams, please raise your hand and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. Please also check to click the microphone to unmute yourself. And if you are joining by phone, please raise your hand by pressing *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator, and then press *6 to unmute yourself.
Hello.
Hi, we have Alan. Your audio and video is now active and you can ask your question.
Yes, I recently had an issue where we had submitted payments for several years and the local office did not receive any record of that work record. So I had to go back and recreate more than 3 years of earnings that had been turned in through the EIN portal for the local branch. Is there any way to facilitate that going smoother in the future?
Hi, Alan. I'm not understanding your question clearly, so I'm going to attempt to restate it. So help me out here. Did you submit a payment request? And with the payment request, you submitted documentation of earnings?
Yes, or we submitted for 3 years, and we were told that we weren't able to be paid for that because the person was still receiving SSDI. But we knew that they shouldn't be. So that's why I was starting to follow up with the local office, and they said they hadn't received any of that record.
Okay, so this sounds like something very case specific. What EIN are you with, Alan?
Job Point, Columbia, Missouri.
Job POINT. And what's your last name?
Pose.
Oh, never mind. Okay. Don't tell me that. Forget I said that. Are you listed as the payments contact?
Yes, I should be.
Okay, I will reach out to you regarding this so that you can give me a reference number and I can take a look at it. How about that?
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi, next we have Danielle. Your audio and video are now active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Danielle, if you can hear us, thank you.
Yeah, I can hear you. My mute, I was hitting the mic, it wouldn't unmute.
Understood.
So I have a question. We got a denial on a payment that said that an earlier month was attainable or something along them lines that she was talking about earlier. And we are having trouble with the consumer getting their pay stub from, because they no longer work. It was for like 2 years ago and they no longer work at that location. And they're having trouble getting on their online portal to get that pay stub to send in. Is there another option that we can use to move forward so we can get payments again?
Hi, Danielle. This is also something specific. I would need to see what is exactly going on and what the system says so that I'd be able to give you more concise guidance. For this one, if you would email the payment help desk with the reference number for this denial, send it to my attention, Nicole Black, and I will look into this specific case and then I'll be able to give you a more clear-cut guidance on how to move forward.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, Danielle, which EIN are you with so that I can look for this?
Center for People with Disabilities in Boulder, Colorado.
And are you the payments contact?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. Jalen, who do we have next?
Yes, next we have Jen. Your audio and video are active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Jen D, if you can hear us, I believe your audio is available if you can hit unmute at your local connection. Jim, it looks like you came off mute. Can you hear us? And can you ask your question?
Okay, we're going to come back to Jen. Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Davina. Your audio and video are active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Davina, if you can hear us, you'll need to unmute from your local connection and you can ask your question.
Okay, there it goes. Oh.
Thank you.
There's like, just for you, Rick, for those others, there's several mics that show up and I found it at the top. But anyway, really quickly, we used to use the work number to put, you know, for collecting paycheck stubs because it would oftentimes bother the beneficiaries for turning in paycheck stubs. But I tried to recently, so we discontinued that service back in 2020 or 21, but we were trying to reestablish it and they were super confused about what I was asking about. Is the work number still available for this? I know the parameters before we closed it, they were changing how they were going to be working with the ends, but I don't remember what happened. And I'm wondering if you can enlighten me so maybe I can go back to them to get that service reestablished.
Hi, Davina. Thank you for your question. So if I'm hearing you correctly, your organization used to use the work number report. And when you went to reestablish your relationship with the work number report, they were unaware of what it is you were requesting as it relates to ticket to work. Okay.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That is something that I am not familiar with. Is there anyone on from SSA that can provide us with any guidance on how to reestablish a relationship with the work number report for the ENs? All right, so I don't think so. What I can attempt to do, no promises here, I can attempt to find out for you and get back to you, but
I would appreciate that. I've been going back and forth with them for quite some time now.
What Ian are you with, Davina?
Polishing the Professional.
Say that for me again.
Polishing the Professional.
Okay, Polishing the Professional. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Los Angeles.
Okay, and are you the payments contact?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so again, no promises because this is not something that we facilitate. But I will get back with you with something. Either yes, I can help you, or no, I'm sorry. I won't leave you.
Okay, no worries. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. And Jalen, who do we have next? Or do we want to try Jen again?
I didn't see her hand come back up.
Okay, all right.
I don't see her on here again. Okay, next we have Amber Starr. Your audio and video are active. You may unmute to ask your question.
Hello, Amber Starr Bush with Career Source Brevard Flagler Volusia. I was curious how we would go about obtaining a receipt of payments. I looked in the portal and there's like Excel options, but it wasn't. I was trying to find like a receipt of past payments provided in a document form. I have had an example from the past, but I'm new, well, somewhat new, but I haven't seen that document. I haven't been able to find it. So I didn't know if someone could share with me where to find that at.
Okay. So your question, Amber Starr, is how do you go back into the portal and retrieve the list of paid cases to you for your reconciliation purposes?
It's called an employment network payment summary, and it ends up listing, and it's in document form. I've gone into the portal looking for this and have not been able to find it. What I can find in the portal are like Excel options, but nothing like the employment network payment summary that I have an example of from back in August of 2025.
Okay, thank you. I believe Alexis is going to be helping us with this.
Hi, good afternoon. Are you referring to the paper document that gets mailed to your agency after the payments are made?
That might be possibly it.
If you have not been receiving those, you should check what your address, email the EM Payments Help Desk and let's check your address that we have listed. Those, get mailed out based on when the payment gets placed into your bank account from our finance department. So we would need to look into why you're not getting those documents in the mail. Those are mailed out documents through postal service.
That makes sense. And I will definitely check with that. I know we just recently updated our contact information. So I will double check everything and reach out accordingly. Thank you so much.
It also might be you can reach out to the EM service email because they are the team that updates your, physical mailing address. So let's double check what your physical mailing address is. And then we can go and figure out why you're not receiving those or at least get them resent to you.
Yeah, because that's who I just updated it with not too long ago. But thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Alexis. Thank you, Amberstar.
Okay, next we have Charity. Your audio and video are now active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, this is Charity Kidd from Employment Solutions out of Lexington, Kentucky. I don't really have a question, more of, can you add me to your list to let me know how we can get access to the work number? Because I had difficulty as well. Now, I used to work for Social Security, and I know how to get on the work number, but to try to do it as not a Social Security employee is a little bit more cumbersome.
Charity, are you the payments contact? You went back on mute.
I am. Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, thank you. I'll add you to that. All right. Thank you. And Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Samantha. Your audio and video are now active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, this is Samantha with Full Circle Employment Solutions out of Maryland. I was just curious, when it comes to, approving payments, we've noticed it kind of fluctuates where payments are kind of approved more quickly, and other times it seems to take a while and we end up with a very high amount of pending payments. Is there kind of any rhyme or reason to that?
Hi, Samantha. Thank you for your question. So just to make sure I'm hearing you correctly, you're asking why there is an ebb and flow in the turnaround time for processing the payments?
Correct.
All right. So there is no rhyme or reason. It just depends on our volume of cases. And as we've said prior, all payments are processed within 30 days of receipt, and processed means they're either paid, denied, or placed in diary status. So if you do have anything that is outside of that 30-day window, please reach out to the payment help desk with the reference number ASAP so that I can take a look at it, and please send it to my attention.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Sandra. Your audio and video are active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Yes, thank you. This is Sandy Abbott from Abbott and Associates Financial Services. And I would like to know, if it's possible, is that dealing with the work number process, if it could be sent out to all of us? Because I know I had a heck of a time. I couldn't even get on it because it kept asking me, if I was a government, do I work for a government agency? And I had to provide them with a phone number.
So I opened up a can of worms, didn't I? So yes. What I will say is I can't give you guys anything definitive right now because I just don't know the answer. and we will take it from there. I need to do some research. I need to coordinate and figure out what's going on, and we will make a decision from there.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, just to, for full transparency, you know, the that is not something that TPM does, is coordinate with the work number report on how you all are able to establish a relationship with them. So that is outside of our purview, and I will see and what will happen. So I'm sorry that I can't give you anything more definitive, but this is just not something that we are familiar with because we don't set up that relationship.
Understood. If you could add me to that list, please.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Charity. Your audio and video are active. You can unmute to ask your question.
I'm sorry. I won't keep asking questions, but
no problem.
I did have one about
no problem.
The allowance, like, so the payments, you say we should get those and they should be processed within 30 days. What I'm finding is that I have payments that I submitted back in April that have not been paid, but they've been allowed. What is the difference? I mean, does that fall in that purview of that they've been processed? Because it's usually taken about another 2 weeks or so after they've been allowed.
Okay, so allowed, I can tell you that we're currently working in under 30 days. So that means if it's something outside of the 30 days and it does not show a paid, denied, or diary status, you can reach out to me with that reference number and I can look at it specifically. I'm not sure if there's anything that Alexis may want to add as to what the allow means in the portal.
Allowed is our awaiting verification status. So from the date that claim is placed into allowed, it still takes about 7 days before you see that money in your bank account. The 30-day processing that Cole is talking about is it goes into that allowed status, it is denied, or it is placed in diary. So there could be an additional 7 days from the date of allowed.
Allowed. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alexis. That was helpful. And Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Kathy. Your audio and video are now active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Yes, and I apologize. I had two meetings at the same time, so I just jumped in late. Is there a phone number or a way to get to someone who can help me with the payroll information exchange that's going on? I'm an individual that I know is earning well over SGA, still getting a check. There's a language barrier with the mother, and I'm trying to explain that even though they were told that his wages are being reported, he still shouldn't be getting a check. Like, is there a way for me to figure that out for them?
Kathy, this is something specific. If you could email the help desk with your reference number for this ticket holder. As far as the payroll information exchange, what Ian are you with?
Best Buddies.
Best Buddies. I knew that.
Oh, when I saw your face, I was like, yay!
I knew that. And I will look up for you when we have that information and send the contact information over to you.
And where am I emailing that? The help desk? Is that like Ian's?
For your specific case that you want us to look at, that's something, email the help desk with the reference numbers so that the team can review what's going on with that specific ticket holder. But for your specific question about the contact information for the payroll information exchange, I'll have to go back and locate that contact information. And I can get that to you as well.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Kathy. Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Diane. Your audio and video are now active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Hi, Diane from Inroads to Opportunities. I'm not sure if this is helpful to the people who are inquiring about the work number, but we do have a contract with them, and it is a subscription/contract service. So you can't just log on and get information. You have to actually pay for it. So I'm pretty sure if you just go to theworknumber.com, you'll be able to navigate the website, and someone will probably call you, a salesperson, and they'll tell you all about the service. But I also do want to say that not all employers report to the work number, because that's also a sort of a contract thing. So there may be times when you run a report on someone and it doesn't show any information, even if you know that they worked for a particular employer at a certain time. And unfortunately, that's out of our control, and it's just kind of the way it is. So anyway, I hope that helps.
Thank you, Diane.
Ooh, you're welcome.
Appreciate you.
My pleasure.
All right. Was that helpful for the individuals who had questions about the work number? You can give me a thumbs up. Awesome. Thank you. Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Danielle. Your audio and video are active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Yes, thank you. I'm sorry. This is my last question. I think this is a general question, but we are working with a consumer that is going back in front of the adjudicated law judge to put IRWIs in play, which will then move them below SGA, and we have received payments on them. Are we going to be required to pay back the payments that we got if they fall under SGA due to IRWIs?
That's a very specific question related to that ticket holder, and we would have to review that case when the next payment request was made, just to see. But that also goes back to what I said. If there is a situation, oh gosh, what slide was it? There was in the overpayment slide where the last notation, if there is something that takes place that causes an update to the ticket holder benefit status or their entitlement, and SSA will not recoup that money from you. But again, it is case specific. It is ticket holder specific, and we would need to review that at the time that it happens. So I would recommend just submit your payment request and we will take it from there. And then if you have additional questions after the payment has been adjudicated, then you can reach back out to me via the help desk. Just ask them to put it to my attention and I'll take a look at it. If it does happen to turn into an overpayment situation just due to any of those factors that are beyond our control, our overpayment specialist, Mohammed Usman, is excellent. He is great at trying to resolve things for you all and finding the best way forward to make it happen. And again, we have an open door policy so that he reaches out to me so that we can figure out the best way to make things happen to ease that burden on you all.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Jalen, who do we have next?
Next is Jessica. Your audio and video are active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Hey, Nicole. It's Jessica from BRWE. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I just have a quick question. So we have a few clients who are receiving denials for O2 cash benefits, but they swear up and down that they are not receiving cash benefits. Is this something that we can send to you, or is there a way to, I mean, I don't know if their local office isn't communicating with you guys, but they have not been receiving cash benefits. They've met with their local office. The local office says, nope, you're not receiving it. Yet when we put in a claim, we're still getting that same denial. So is there any other reason that we would get that kind of denial?
Those situations unfortunately need to be addressed at the field office level, where they need to get their benefit status updated and corrected to indicate that they are not, that they are in suspense. I just recommend having them continue to go to the field office and work to get their benefit status updated and work with your WIPA or your AWIC or whoever it is that you need to in order to help them get their personal situation resolved.
Yeah, we've been in the process of that for the last 3 months with some of these people. It's slightly frustrating because, like I said, they're not receiving it. They've gone to the Social Security office. The Social Security office says, yep, nope, you were here 30 days ago. You're not doing this. So I will refer that back to Cynthia and have her deal with that. All right. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you. Sorry I couldn't give you any additional information.
I appreciate it.
All right, Jalen, we're coming down to the last few minutes of the call, so we'll be able to take just a couple more questions. So if you have any questions that were not answered, please, please, please send them to the help desk. Send them to my attention, Nicole Black, with the reference number if it's specifically related to a case, and I will most definitely get back to you with a reply. Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Melinda. Your audio and video are now active if you'd like to unmute and ask your question.
Hello. I just had a question regarding name mismatches. So we have some beneficiaries that are receiving pay stubs with a shortened version of their name. So instead of Thomas, it might say Tom or something of that nature, or even a generational suffix. So instead of like Thomas Jr., it'll say just Thomas or whatever. So those names are mismatched, obviously, for what's in the portal because they have their full legal name. So on their pay stubs, how is there a recommendation that you would have to get that corrected or to work around that? Because we've been getting a lot of denials regarding that. So
I would say if they were previously denied for that, send them back in one more time. We do have resources available to check on different levels for the names. And then that way, if it is denied, again, for the name not being on record, that's when your ticket holder just needs to go to their employer and have their employer update their information in their system so that it matches the name on record.
All right. Great. Thank you so much.
Send it back in, Melinda.
Okay.
So that we can review it again.
All right. Will do. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we have time for one more question. Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Davina. Your audio and video are active. You may unmute to ask your question.
I'm so sorry. I thought I took my hand out, but I was just going to make a point regarding the work number issue. Yeah, so I'm clear about the subscription. We had that before. For whatever reason, when you're calling the work number to reestablish it, they're just not sure what I'm talking about, and I'm just as baffled about it. I've spoken to several people. So so I'm familiar with how the work number works because we used it for about 9 or 10 years. But anyway, that was it. Thank you. I'm going to call them back again to see if I can get some movement. But thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. All right. So I see there's two more hands. Like I said, if you guys could please send your questions into the help desk, send it to my attention, and I will definitely get back to you to address your question or your concern. And with that, I will hand it back over to Ben.
Thank you, Nicole. And thank you, everybody, for your questions this afternoon. As a reminder, that email that Nicole is referring to is enpaymentshelpdesk@ssa.gov. So please send your questions there if we weren't able to get to them this afternoon. Please go to the next slide. That concludes our all EN payment call. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate your participation on this call.